There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I swallowed his kids. I swallowed his kids. Now they down in my stomach. I swallowed his kids. This is the song. Someone sent it to the Side Stories
LPOTL
Gmail. Yes, it is from the album. Let me double check, because I don't want to besmirch this woman. I want to make sure that I have this completely, because there's a lot of creativity here.
Definitely.
A lot of energy here.
Oh my goodness. I get it. This is a euphemism for swallowing cum.
Because here, like, it's by Princess Vitara. Uh-huh. The album is called Coming to America. It's not spelled normal coming. It's spelled the jizz style of coming.
Oh my.
And what I like, honestly, it's got great titles. I do love the titles. There's one called Why Are You Running? Which is, honestly, I'm asking the same thing.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
People out there running with the fucking masks on.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you want to fucking accelerate your fucking mouth breath to your nose holes?
I think
there's one called...
She wasn't done draining them yet. They can't run away. No.
Nope. They've got, I stepped on some weed.
Oh.
Swallow his kids. I swallow his kids. That's the third track coming out there. There's one called I Own Three Goats.
Wow.
One called My Rent Cost $5,000.
Well, no.
So that's just putting that out there.
Just
that's
putting
what she's
that
looking
out
for.
There. She must be on one of the coasts. It's very expensive to live out here.
And they got the song just called Do You Eat Ass?
All right. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Now, the question that I have when it comes to the song titles, does she ever answer these questions?
Let me ask myself that question by listening to the song real quick. Now this is the song. Now this is thank you to Spotify. We want to say thank you to Spotify for all of the support that they give us. And I think we're going to be able to play some of this song because of this, right?
Really,
because of our relationship.
I would hope so. We get very little, but this could be one of the perks of, you know, our small amount of success.
Here we go. All right, let me listen to this song called Oh Yeah. She got another big song called I Want 20 Inch Dick.
Oh, wow.
And the other big one's called Nigerian Pussy. Now, let me see what this song here says.
Wow.
Okay, starting off kind of slow.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Do you eat this ass? Will you eat this ass?
Jumps into it, huh? And then any answer.
Vitara. Her name is Vitara. I mean, she's got a great looking ass.
All right. Well, indeed. I'm sure a lot of people would love to take part in that. I hope everyone is doing well out there, enjoying the, you know, we're getting some fine temperatures out here here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, this is how you're
going to have some
rain. This is what you're doing. You're going
Saturday.
To meteorology corner when I want to talk about the fact that Princess Vitara has, like, she is requesting someone to eat her ass. And mostly the song seems to be a rumination upon the ideas of my ass is edible.
Sure.
No one currently is up inside of it.
Not yet.
Three, are you the person with the gumption, nay, grit, determination enough
right.
to give her the things that she requires in mm-hmm. order to get to eating her butthole.
Well, if it takes grit to eat someone's butt, I would highly recommend they just take a shower. It shouldn't be that difficult. You should not have to have an eye patch on like you're John Wayne in a Western. You should never have to, I don't even know, have
honestly,
a cold beer after you do it to forget the memory.
Just wash before. Just get in
sure.
there. I don't think it's insulting to ask. Give it a little sweep. Give it a bit of a sponge. Because in the end, I think you should be protecting your eyeballs because that's how you get pink eye.
That is very true. A lot of pink eye caused from the butt.
It seems to be.
Speaking of buttholes, let's talk about Israel Keyes.
Yes, I'd love to, because what a piece of fucking shit. I'm glad he's dead. Now there's new evidence.
But,
there's new stuff coming out.
This is the interesting thing. Obviously, Israel Keyes, murderer. What did he kill? 11 people?
Well, no, we only have the one he confessed to. He only confessed to a couple, like that one couple. Like, he is not, he purposely kept his information close to the vest because he wanted to play games with the police officers. I don't know if you remember him being like, I fucking even dare you to get to the center of my devious mind.
Yes, of course, he was the one with the murder kits around, things like that. Ultra douche.
Kill cachets. Ultra douche. Well,
I actually think it's sad, though, that he committed suicide. I would have liked to see this person have to stay alive for a longer time just to suffer in the mind of Israel Keyes, but apparently he had to succumb to his own annoyance.
I wish I could have seen Israel Keyes go prison bald.
Oh, yeah.
I think that people in prison go bald different. Like, they age different. They age harder. So a lot of times, like, I would love to have seen him become, like, either super, super fat or very, very spindly. Sure. Those are the only two criminals that exist.
Well, then the super jacked. You can also get super jacked as we know.
But serial killers don't seem to do that. Serial killers don't seem to go there. I don't know why they don't go the super jack route, from what I know, because I know Dennis Rader is normal.
Yep.
David Berkowitz technically went... I think he's softer. He got fatter.
He got softer. He turned to Christ. He turned his life around, and he turned to muffins. And
He's weak.
He's a little bit weak. The only one that really made a massive physical transition was the fellow Richard Speck, who got the big hoo-haws.
Well, he did that. That was just... I'm going to call it an addition.
Yes. Right?
He definitely was an add-on, to use the parlance of Outer Worlds, the RPG. he modified his chest to, I guess, to a +5 grabability and cumability.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've been watching a lot of... For some reason, I've stumbled upon this television show that's all about cabins in Maine.
Oh, I love Maine. It's called like Maine Lodge Master, or like Maine Lodge Commandant, where it's just people putting logs together. And just like, so this will keep me good and far away from my neighbors.
Yep. Well, that's the biggest complaint. If they're out there and they're going to buy a log cabin living, great show, and you even come close to seeing a neighbor, what the hell am I doing out here?
Absolutely. Why did I build this fucking shit out of Abraham Lincoln fucking bricks? All right, I got this type of day. And then every once in a while, a guy comes by your house, especially if you meet, and you go, you don't want to go up now, sometimes, that is better. That's the only thing I know about Maine.
Exactly what happens. My favorite thing, and we can get back to Israel Keyes because we have some art to talk about, but my favorite critique of anyone that walks into a house is, I wanted a little bit more wood. We wanted more wood. This doesn't have the feel. We wanted more wood.
You see, I came from that idea of like, because I remember when I was first, before I got with Nat, right? Like, I ended up, like, I was living a single man's lifestyle. I'm going to say akin to Ben Kissel, where I had a love seat, a TV, and a bed. That is the only thing that I own.
Well, I have two TVs, so I'm doing better than you.
No, that's different. It was before we were making money on the show. This is all I had. I had a love seat, I had a bed, I had the fucking TV, and I remember going through, like, at some point, like, talking to an interior designer about something. I didn't know what I think I would do. I was in a railroad apartment in Brooklyn that was like, I don't even know what an interior designer was going to do, put a fucking plant in there. But their big thing was that sexual, like, you got to embrace your male sexuality. And that's what all of this is about. We need to create like a kind of moody, sensual space for you. And the only thing they do is put wood in there. Yeah.
Not to mention you lived right above a seafood restaurant, an open seafood market. It's like, it ain't going to work. But that's very sweet, though. That's adorable that you got an interior designer for that place.
I just stopped. I basically ghosted her because I was like, I got nothing, man. I don't know what to do here. But according to 48 Hours, so this, the course of 48 Hours of that show, if you've seen that show, I love it. Basically,
it is
just
a world famous show that has been around for 30 years, Henry. People
love
48
Hours. I love this fucking
show.
But the reason why I even come back to it, it's always like a detective who's just like fat and tired.
Yep.
And that's the only thing that stands between us and chaos, is a man with a coffee-stained tie who looks like he needs about 3 hours more of sleep.
Isn't that true?
But they did a new investigation to the murders of serial killer Israel Keyes. Now, this comes from CBSNews.com. They have promised to reveal new important details never made public. Now, when producers Chris O'Connell, Anthony Venditti, and I entered a meeting room at the Anchorage, Alaska FBI field office, we didn't realize just how unnerving that promise would be.
Whoa.
One by one, FBI Special Agents Jolene Godin and Catherine Nelson began placing sheets of paper before us. Each sheet featured a haunted, hand-painted image of a human skull.
Whoa.
With eyes looking back at us. The artist, Israel Keyes. The paint he used, his own blood.
Oh my goodness. He made 11 paintings, 11 skull paintings with his own blood, like the goth cliche douchebag that he is, which is why people are now speculating that he didn't kill, that he killed more than previously thought, because I guess these are supposed to represent his victims, but in the mind of Israel Keyes, it could just be the Pamela Anderson that he used to masturbate to when he watched Baywatch, and that worked her way in. That worked its way into being a painting.
It is just the most painfully lame thing. That the only thing that, I mean, nothing tops his suicide note. Nothing tops his nu metal tinged, super extreme with three X's, with Vin Diesel standing behind the three X's, that type of extreme poetry. But he decided to create these three, he created 11 skulls, right? And I guess it was before he committed suicide. And the last sheet of paper he wrote, "We are one."
Oh.
And then I guess they're saying, ugh. It alludes to 11 possible victims that he has decided to, his dumb, curly-headed mystique that it's supposed to add to.
I'm not going to sit here. Well, I am going to sit here, but I will protest any mocking of Vin Diesel. Yes, a background dancer turned a tough guy. That's what can happen in Hollywood.
That's what can happen in Hollywood.
There are no ding-dongs. There are no boobies, but it is Triple X because it's a lot of action. And I have been watching a little bit of action films in the background as I stare at my dogs, and
got to.
They're kind of fun.
Did you see Bloodshot yet?
No, I have not seen that. Although when I look in the mirror after a long night of drinking tequila alone, which I've got to curb, I see it in my eyes.
I was thinking about, I wanted to watch it, but Natalie says, I mean, my thing is I have to secure sex first. And then I can watch Bloodshot, because Vin Diesel doesn't seem to do it for Nat. I think it's got something to do with his shoulders to neck to head ratio.
This is a statement. Maybe it'll be controversial. I don't know. Mel Gibson will always do it. You put Braveheart on.
No, Nat is not sexually attracted to Mel Gibson. But if you ask my mother still would be like, I just don't understand how they ever shot out the most sensational leading man that's ever been. And I was like, oh, it's mom's because he had a bunch of anti-Semitic shit and he called a cop sugar tits. And she's just like, you didn't think they didn't try to rape me every day when I worked at Domino's in the 70s? And I was like, I know, mom. I know things were different in the 60s and 70s.
It sounds like it. Well, we all love freedom. Israel Keyes obviously lost his freedom because he was so horrible at handling it. This is what he had to say once he started killing people randomly. He told an investigator, once I started, you know, there was nothing else like it. So there you go. That's Israel Keyes. He's a little artist. If you get a chance to take a look at these skulls, they suck. Another problem.
They're not even good skulls. It's just on a sheet of paper, and you know, I mean, no, it's just saw him doing it. No one stopped him. Him going, oh, man, this is going to be so fucking gnarly. Everybody's going to see these skulls and be like, holy fucking shit, that guy's the devil. And meanwhile, he's just doing these, like, they all look like grays. They don't even look like fucking skulls. They look like alien heads. And then just
to be the perfect 13-year-old goth, he puts the upside-down cross on all of their foreheads like it's a demonic Ash Wednesday.
This is some fucking Tumblr bullshit.
That's
what this is.
This is the scariest part of prison. Your roommate. Like, when I think about prison, because I watch a lot of The Lockup. I know you do too, Henry.
Yes.
Your roommate, that's crapshoot. I mean, I got pretty unlucky in college, and that's theoretically where good people go.
I had one really good roommate that was, he had a Mustang. Cool. That was fun as hell. And freshman year, he had a fucking killer ass car. That was super cool. But yeah, the other one used to come out when he was drunk, and he just thought it was a funny thing to come out into the common area, pull down his pants, and pee on his feet.
You know, I kind of like the second one better than the Mustang guy, because it is pretty funny.
It was a trick that he did, and it didn't make him super popular, but last I saw he was married.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? That's what happens. That you just eventually, you know, if someone will eventually go to you. It depends on just how lonely you allow the person you want to be with be. Sometimes you have to go for somebody who's super desperate just to speak with anybody if your main thing is just to get married.
I totally agree. I was watching Shark Tank because this is the premise of every single one of my sentences now is I was watching. I don't clarify if I had clothes on.
Yeah, man, of course, because we are in the most boring time period on the face of the planet. There's nothing to talk about. We were talking about that we did a big Zoom meetup this weekend that you missed. We all were like, oh, because Christmas got better things to do.
I was too depressed to Zoom because it's like masturbating. But sometimes you want to have sex with someone. And I can't look at all my friends and not be able to touch them. It's like going to the menu board at Mickey D's and not walking out with a McRib.
You know what, though? I'm 60% of masturbating, but you know what? At the same time, 60% of the time, it works every time.
Okay.
But we were talking about, it's like, well, what do we do? How do we talk about all the things we're up to? It's like, I could sit and talk to you all about this week's episode of Last Podcast on the Left, which Nat is thrilled with. I mean, she gets it already. And then half the other room are people already working on the show.
That's what I'm talking about. Shark Tank, they had a couple of people come in, and they were selling a product that would clean the internet of all of the funny pictures that you had when you were in college, because now you're a grown-up big boy, and applying for your job at Morgan Stanley, and they don't want to see the picture of you, your ding-dong, out in the middle of the living room when one of your friends took a picture of you pissing on your feet. But in our case, we just monetized it.
I asked for Travis's. When we first hired Travis back in the day, I asked for his most embarrassing photos because I needed to know he could embarrass himself to even work for us. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that it's important to have that base. See someone at their college level. If you're going to get new employees, see them at their most embarrassing so you can see if you can handle it, or at least know, hey, this is a real person. With a real story.
I totally agree. So Israel Keyes, kind of back in the news because he made some horrible drawings out of his own blood. Horrible roommate situation to be in, mostly because the art is so bad. And you know he put it up on the wall. Because what else are you going to do with it?
See with that one, how fucking metal is this shit, huh? Doesn't it make you feel the creep of the graveyard? Doesn't it make you feel the call of the ghoul? Nothing escapes my dark vengeance.
Maybe he would be a fun roommate.
Nothing but Henry, escapes.
Speaking of college, Henry, this story kind of made me think of all of us, but this dude is not in college. Did you hear the story about the guy who jumped on the wine tanker in California, opened up the spigot, and just started slamming wine out of the truck? This dude is incredible.
Got to, dude. Honestly, what do you find that wine? That wine's just sitting there. You know, you got to get it. Because in the end, I think that if you steal wine from a bar, right? If you go behind a bar and steal it, I would view that more harshly. But there's something about scurrying up to the top of a wine tanker like you're a French pirate.
Yes.
And you're fucking self-siphoning a bunch of Merlot in there, man. Hey,
the dude,
that's like hunting for wine.
It really is. The dude's name is Gabriel Moreno. We have a friend's last name Moreno as well.
Johnny.
Gabriel Moreno, he was arrested. Oh my God.
Of course they arrested him.
It was in wine country. You're going to call it wine country and not allow all the wine to be free for anyone that's in the said wine country? You think Willy Wonka arrested those kids for stealing all the sugary treats? It doesn't make any sense.
He let them in there, and then he did punish them.
Well, he did graphically punish them. One of the fat boys, I believe he is still dead at this point.
Yeah, because they killed Augustus Gloop. They stretched the other woman. They did many things to these children, and it was kind of like, honestly, now that I think about it, Willy Wonka's all about fucking entrapment. It's all about doing that passive-aggressive thing where you say, like, well, yeah, you know, you just don't track. You bring everybody in your house, but you don't tell them you're not supposed to sit on the fucking furniture. And the whole time you're like, you decided to sit in the chair. Being like, well, you invited me to your living room.
Yeah, it's like anytime you go over to your friend's house now during the pandemic, where, yes, it does seem rude, but we have to understand the reason behind the rudeness. So this guy, it was a Cherokee freight line. I don't know what that means, but I guess it's a good freight. And the truck driver was like, what the hell is going on here? I feel like I'm losing wine. He thought that there was some mechanical problem, stops, takes a look behind, and just sees Mr. Moreno with no shirt, no shoes. He's no on problem. The side of the tanker. And then the video shows him climb underneath the tanker as it's free, as it hits freeway speeds. That's when the driver noticed a dashboard gauge showing he was losing fluids, hundreds of gallons of wine.
Whoa, this is Fast and the Furious dinner party edition.
So this guy wanted that truck wine. Fucking
Napa Valley capers, man.
But Henry, I figured even when you buy wine in the box, they got a little bag in there. It's not yeah, just a little in bag the in there. Box. I didn't know that you could just go crack open like a keg, like the world's most expensive keg. You could just crack open the back of a semi-truck that has a bunch of wine in it and start guzzling it down.
You're not supposed to.
But you can't.
The wine has to go from one place. They don't have, it's not like oil. They don't have pipeline system that goes from Northern California and France like into our countries and pull it. Like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, that'd be kind of fun. But they don't put it to our pipe system so it can get there directly. So it has to be taken from one place to the next. So it's put in a big tanker. And then it's that tanker is then emptied into a bunch of other, I guess, into some other version. I don't know anything about wine production. I don't know.
But the arresting officer, so this is according to the arresting officer of Mr. Moreno, who was just thirsty. He says this individual was able to release the wine from under the tanker, and he placed himself underneath the tanker in such a manner. The best way to describe this was somebody doing it like snow angels. So he's just stuck to the bottom of this tanker, just guzzling sucking on wine. Dude. My God, this seems like something Nordberg would do from Naked Gun. He got drugged behind underneath a damn car, but he didn't even get any wine for it. He just got to murder his ex-wife.
Yeah, this is like a highly athletic version of that of Paul Giamatti from the movie Sideways.
It really is. And then the officer concludes with this individual, which I like that he's keeping it classy. This individual got exactly what they were looking for immediately.
Yeah, sweet wine.
Sweet wine. The trucking company says it lost about 1,000 gallons of red wine, most of it ending up on Highway 99. That's about $5,000. That's about 5,000 bottles worth of wine, my friend. So that's not good.
This could have been some form of very intense quarantine scavenger hunt.
Sure.
They said, I bet you can't drink wine out of a wine truck. And the guy's like, fucking, you've never met a Moreno.
Absolutely, you haven't. I mean, people, this to me is so much better than spelunking down underneath a cow, sucking at teeth, trying to get some milk. This is so much better than that.
They both have their pluses and minuses. One is that, yes, you're strapped to the moving tanker underneath a moving, on a highway, going speed limit speeds, right? Sure. Yeah, that's very dangerous. But the other one, you're up to your fucking shoulders in cow shit.
Yeah.
You're like crawling a bunch of cow shit to get under a fucking, get to the teat. What did Marcus call them? Not the breasts. Marcus called it something else.
Oh, I'm not sure. They
it's do like
call,
the tube.
Yeah, they call it something weird on the farm. And,
it's like the breast.
I don't know what goes on in Modesto, but according to the cop here, he also says, I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls. He says, this one's up there. It's got to be top 10. But don't you think top 10?
That's very boring. That's a very boring town. Because it is just drinking wine out of a truck. Anybody can do it if the truck is parked. More exciting that he was on the go.
I think he was on the go, and then it went all over the highway. It's a pretty exciting day for the old Modesto cops.
I think that cop should be thankful. He should be blessing his lucky stars that it's that bored for him. Oh, God, that's so nice. He doesn't have to go into all these shootouts. I'd be so scared for him.
Well, what he's got to do is announce his retirement, and then from action movie logic, that day will be crazy.
Yes, then he stops the serial killer. I do want to do a couple of updates as well. Number one, The Halifax Examiner coming in hot. coming in hot with some a little bit of some more information about the Nova Scotia shooter
that
happened April 19th. Guy, but they in this article they name him, they just name him as GW. So I'll do the same. He dresses a Mountie, shot 22 people.
Horrible.
One of the worst mass shootings led to an assault weapon ban.
Oh, they got on that Canada. Very quickly over there. Yeah.
Very, very fast. May 1st, immediately, my birthday. And then what now, according to the Halifax Examiner, they had someone that formerly was a neighbor to GW who went on to describe him. And I don't want to, this is intense.
Uh-oh.
And this is some new material. She went on to describe him as he was an asshole.
Well, you
apparently
know,
he was an asshole. Apparently he beat his wife quite a bit. He was, he wasn't, there's a lot of people saying that, oh, this guy was kind of a regular dude. It was like
right.
kind of a staple. To their little town, which was known to the little town of Portapique, but apparently he beat the shit out of his wife. This is according to this one woman, and he also was he threatened them many times in the most Canadian way, made them move just by driving in front of their house, getting out of the car, and staring at them at their home for up to 30 minutes at a time, and then leaving. And eventually said, "We gotta get out of here."
Well, you can go pop him in the nose real quick, too. Just be like, what do you want? Why are you out here?
Nope,
stop staring at me, Michael Myers.
Very Canadian. They were afraid inside of their homes.
They just moved, huh? Well, I guess the guy was very dangerous. So
he would show them their weapons, and apparently they tried several times to call the Mounties on him for some of his illegal weapons, and no one really ever followed up because they basically said, he's a good guy.
You know, I always feel good when we hear stories about these serial killers, in this case, a horrible mass shooter in GW, named GW, I guess those are his initials. I'm happy that he was an asshole. Because
yeah,
I hate when you hear, oh, just a nice, normal person. I don't even know what that means anymore.
Are.
And I'm beginning to think that people might just not be able to gauge what normal means. Like, normal is not just like, well, he never said a word. He just mowed his lawn 3 times a week. He took his garbage out like everyone else. Never said hello. Never said anything. It's like, that doesn't mean he's normal. I just feel like we don't understand what normal is.
I assume you're doing crimes.
Okay.
Right. My base paranoid level is I assume all people are guilty until proven innocent.
Well, that's totally flipped around.
Yeah, but I do that mostly. I'm not going to not blame the content that we've covered for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But on me, so that's why my end, I'm like, I'm not surprised by anybody's actions, something like this, because I just assume everybody has a mirror world inside of their own brain mm-hmm. that we don't have access to.
Absolutely.
No matter how well you know somebody, you can know them for decades, you could be married to them, you could have given birth to them. You never really true the inner machinations of someone's consciousness, and a lot of times, there's fucking wiggity woo things in there, and they can bubble up to the surface at any point, especially during choke point stress moments like the beginning of a quarantine.
Well, that is why the question is, would you ever want to know what's on the minds of people? No.
No.
I don't want to know what they're thinking. I can't take all of the insults. I don't like the insults that they express to me.
We're already getting them.
Imagine.
We're on the internet.
Yes.
We're already like up to our eyeballs in the collective unconscious of all fucking humankind. And everybody says whatever thought that they have anyway. And we are already subject to it. So I've had enough of people's thoughts.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I didn't really realize we sort of did get that. We did get that superpower, didn't we? We can see into the minds of the many. Not a lot of people need to have their minds explored too much.
But that's things. Also, the other way around, people then believe. It almost creates another sense of kind of complacency about the human mind. That actually, what I'm saying is actually indicative of a problem. Where I assume, now that I've seen so many things, that maybe it would make me less curious to get to know someone.
It would definitely put up a bit of a wall if I meet someone and I know them only through social media before.
But I have social media friends.
It's oftentimes difficult.
I have social media friends. People I met through social media then became my friends. That does happen.
Of course it does.
Another update. I actually got some really good information about funeral homes after we talked about the massive pileup of bodies that are happening in New York funeral homes.
I didn't realize this was going to hit a nerve with some people.
Well, it's because it's a fairly misunderstood business.
Yeah.
And I feel like that there are people that are flawed within the funeral home business. And I think that there are people that take advantage of it. I mean, I think that we don't, who knows? But if you look up, I forgot that we spoke with Caitlin Doty several years ago, who runs she wrote a book called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, From Here to Eternity. She is a funeral home owner and a mortician and runs a YouTube page called Ask a Mortician, the user Order of the Good Death. And there's a really good explanation for these types of backups of bodies. And obviously, we are in a very high point for bodies, especially in New York City. It's a body boom. I am going to still say... It sucks. The situation sucks, and who knows how it can be remedied. But Ask a Mortician has some really good information on the subject.
Okay.
That I was not fully privy to, and now that I know, I find it to be interesting because it's state by state. Certain people get paid for bodies by the state, and some don't. Sometimes they have to hunt that cash down. So saying someone's hoarding bodies for money is actually probably not true, because a lot of times you have to go after the families for the money. And then you're putting yourself in a situation where if you have a body that's been sitting there, if you obviously don't have the cash to already do some fancy outside funeral from what you're doing right now, because right now they're just trying to cremate bodies as fast as humanly possible.
Right.
And they're trying to cancel all services, all mortician services, all funeral home services, which is really, really tough. It's making all these bodies build up because you have a right to say, hey, I want a funeral, which means, like, you know, I want to be able to have these final goodbye
right.
to my family member, which means your family member is going to have to sit on ice.
Put them on ice.
But it requires infrastructure. And if you don't already have the infrastructure, it's all mess.
Well,
but
that's the strangest thing about my deli now. They've actually just started putting the corpses in the refrigerator section right near the Bud Lights. And I say, hello, Tim. Hello, Wendy. And you go in there. And I'm just happy that my grocery store got a side hustle going.
I also started watching a documentary. So I had seen this a little while ago, but someone, we bring up the things that people are in love with objects. There's a thing called objectum sexuality, or what they call OSs, or objectum sexuals, people that are attracted to objects. And one of the things that was, I watched this documentary, it's on the YouTube channel Only Human. And one of the things that, you know, you can love whoever you want. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want. These people aren't hurting anybody. I mean, they are mirroring the Eiffel Tower, sure. I think it's weird because I feel like it's people that are insane that think that they're Napoleon, where it's being like, so you not just, it's not just some random building, it's the Eiffel Tower that you're in love with. But then they find a local piece of building that they'll rub themselves on.
Maybe they watched some Eiffel Tower porn. If you do watch some Eiffel Tower porn, you're not going to go to France. You are going to go to the basement of some college frat. And then that Eiffel Tower, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that Eiffel Tower is not up to code a lot of the times. But the one thing that was the hard part of this documentary is watching these. I'm not offering judgment upon them. These are very strange. I'm going to say the word unusual.
Sure.
They're unusual people. They're in love with structure.
Safe to say.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say they are rubbing themselves on things. It's a lot, right?
See, this is my question, Henry. Do they ever fall out of love? If there's a World Trade Center one,
the first
and all of a
one,
sudden,
they,
oh,
they
I'm
literally,
sorry. Yeah, that happens.
That is in the documentary.
What happens then? How do you divorce the Eiffel Tower? And isn't the Eiffel Tower going to be pissed? And don't you have to give it half of your shit? And then doesn't it come back and kill you?
No, this one chick is married to the Eiffel Tower, and she's still in love. And she says that they keep it. What she does is she built a model of it that she has sex with.
Oh.
And she puts it inside, I imagine. But she says it's more consensual. It's more like there's foreplay. And she kind of masturbates while touching it. Right? It's like a whole thing. It's very, very intense. It's a lot. This woman was a professional archer. That's how what happened. She was trying to date a man. She ended up falling in love with his bow versus him.
What?
She took on the bow. She fucks the bow. her and the Beau actually go on to win many championships, but then they break up, and then she has to go and redo with her coach, right? She's got this archery coach who's just looking, he's just looking a little tired. And right. they are trying, she refused to get the trophy. She won third place trophy in this, like, in this archery competition, and she refuses to go get it because she can't handle the bad memories of what it was like to used to be in love with her Beau.
Wait, hold on. So somebody got broken up with, not for another person, but for an object, and then how do you deal with that?
Suicide. Guess.
No, I don't know. Is that an Israel Keys moment where you say, uh-oh, time to die? Or do you say, thank God she's not having sex with my best friend? That would have led to a whole bunch of more emotions. I guess if they want to have sex with a Beau, you just got to be like,
They can do whatever they want. If that's what you want to do, I don't give a shit. But yes, would I be thankful that my buddy's not dating that person anymore or trying to date that person anymore? I'd be like, well, I think he dodged a bullet here because she had some, what I would say, unreasonable expectations.
So then watching this, what... would I notice? I'm walking down the street. Would I notice? And this woman's carrying a Beau. I'd be like, okay, that's kind of weird. But would
she kisses it?
She does.
She holds it. She sleeps with it in her bed. But that's now they're broken up. Now these are full objects. The one thing that really kind of like it just made me twitch, and I think it's because of this time period, was the woman, the main woman. It was she's now in a newfound love relationship with the Golden Gate Bridge, and she goes to the Golden Gate Bridge, and she's just like, I just love to be around it. The sensuality makes me feel, it makes me feel heard, it makes me feel seen. But she's going up to the handrails and all these like areas of. And she's just fucking licking them. She's licking and kissing them and rubbing herself on it. And then another woman, she meets up with another person, another OS. They go to New York, which is the OS capital of the world, apparently. So Kissel, look out for them.
I will, yeah.
They say there's just so many objects. They say it's like a strip club for them, where it's just eye candy everywhere.
I am actually, I am extremely jealous that they can experience reality like this.
Yes, absolutely. It seems to be a more innocent way to view life. But she goes up to, I mean, they've all been deeply traumatized. I'm not going to say that's not
the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah.
They've all had bad pasts. Everything has been bad. Things have been bad have happened to both of them.
Sure.
But the woman goes up to the Empire State Building because now she has been enamored with the Empire State Building, right? It looks like a huge cock. And the other woman goes to her. She's like, I'm going to let you guys be alone. You guys need some alone time together. This is the Empire State Building. It's like 3:00 in the afternoon in New York City, right? And so she goes up to the building and she starts being like, I can't believe I'm so happy that we're finally together.
This is a man and that's doing this or a woman that loves
you? No, they are only women, it seems to be. According to this documentary, I think that they are, it's a kind of an older documentary. They're saying there's only 40 of these people that identify as OS and that are also... they're all women apparently.
Okay.
But she goes up to the Empire State Building. Security guard comes past and it's like, can you please leave? And she's just like, one last second. And she starts French kissing the outside of the building. It's like very intimately kissing it. But I give big props to the security guard because he comes up and he goes, are you finished? Are you finished? Please, please go.
That's very nice.
Please go. Very, very nice. And then she left. But then she's like, yeah, that security guard read me to riot act back there, like trying to commiserate with the other woman. Like, yeah, they don't understand our love. They don't understand. And I was like, honestly, he let you kiss it for like 45 seconds. He let you kiss it for almost a full minute.
Wow.
And that's a lot. And I want to say, he technically gave you a lot of room.
I think that's safe to say. Most security guards, you get one lick, but then once you start going in like a deer on a salt block, we got to call it here because we got people coming in, happening.
She was all up in that. Like, she might have been a one of the purveyors of Princess Verita's open-ended business in her backside because it looked like she was eating the Empire State Building's asshole.
Well, I think that's the exhaust, isn't it, up top? The World Trade Center 1, I will say, that's a babe on the street. The World Trade Center 1 is a pretty hot building right there.
I guess so. Are you about to fuck this thing?
No, no, it won't have me. Do they give attributes? So like the Golden Gate Bridge.
They
when
do.
I think of the Golden Gate Bridge, I'm like, that's a straight up killer. Golden Gate sure. Bridge is actually, it's a very dangerous bridge.
So it kills people.
It kills people. It's a great documentary called The Bridge. Check it out if you kind of want to be depressed and also realize that some people commit suicide and then their family members aren't sad about it. Because there's one girl
brutal.
To cover in that where
it
they're just
like... It makes me want to blow. It's such a sad... Like, that is Jesus. A sad documentary.
So Golden Gate Bridge, or like they'll be like, oh, that's the bad boy. Or like, do they break it
yeah,
down
they
like
do
it's
a little
K-pop
bit.
Bands?
The woman that was in love with her beau, the archer woman who was in love with her beau, said... She said stuff like, he's handsome and he knows it. Which is interesting. It is a very interesting way to live. She was molested her whole life
throughout the whole into the backstory of
they do a little bit, but it's highly fascinating.
Yes,
I just the brain can house so many ideas.
It can some good, some not so good, and in this case, as long as they're happy, can you be happy though? Don't you at some point? Don't you need it? Don't you need a hug? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. We're more extroverted people, though. So maybe they don't need it.
I love human contact. But these people have been, I think a lot of it has to do with being burned by humankind.
Right.
Or they believe that they have been sufficiently burned by humankind that they switch to objects. But to them, they never say the word it. Because she's like, that means it's inanimate.
Well, but it doesn't. Ma'am. I'm not going to argue with her.
They live in an X-rated Beauty and the Beast. And yeah. I want to say that it's, I mean, you know, I remember being weirdly kind of attracted to the French duster.
Of course. Well, that was by design, and let's not get into the cabinet.
But I like breasts. And when I see like a thing, I mean, I'm not to be too controversial, but I like breasts. And my thing is that even if you put a big pair of great naturals on a building,
well, I don't think they
I'm gonna
could
have
be.
A hard time
if they were natural. Then you got to find the woman that you took them off of, and you're probably going to be charged with murder, or at the very least a unwarranted double mastectomy that no one wants to go through.
Dude, nothing is like a surprise double mastectomy to really ruin a quilt group.
Well, speaking of, so that would make for an interesting conversation at the quilt group. Maybe
blop.
Oh, my. Speaking of surprises, we had Mother's Day. Did you call your mother this past weekend, Henry?
I want to. I wonder if I can even do this. I think that our people will be mad. But my mom, I found, because it was difficult to get the flowers. I wanted to get her flowers right during quarantine.
Yes.
So I went and I got her. I got her flowers from a place, and she was like, I want you to talk about it on the show. And I don't know if I should, but they did such a good job. They made my mom cry.
Okay,
it was a place called Floral Impressions in Tampa that made my, and I had a, like, they, she was like, you wouldn't believe the cavalcade of flowers that they left. And it was just a celebration of what it's like to be a mother. And then, oh, Henry Thomas, we watched the comedy show for the nurses, and we laughed. We laughed and laughed, and I was just like, that's great. I wish I could watch comedy.
That's very nice. What was the name of it again?
Floral Impressions in Tampa. They did a really good job. And she said that when my mom called the head of the florist to say, what a good job you did. And she's like, this is the first time anyone's ever called with a compliment.
Well, that was really sweet. I just Venmo'd my parents some money because that's how we communicate love. But that's very, very nice. This son, not so nice to his mother.
No, this is the opposite.
We're going to Beijing, China. So police in northern China, they have arrested a man. Why did they arrest him? Well, turns out his mother, who is half paralyzed, he doesn't like her anymore.
Nope.
Put her in a wheelbarrow. The son put her in a wheelbarrow.
He just put her straight up in a GD wheelbarrow.
In a wheelbarrow. And kind of barreled her out to the cemetery where evidently there was just an open plot. Guess they just have those.
Sure.
Dumped her in there. 3 days later, they found her. She was quite upset But she was
alive. It's a miracle. Yes. It's Jesus. Jesus is back.
That's right. The man's wife told police her husband carried his mother away in a wheelbarrow on May 2nd. When she failed to return 3 days later, police were informed and the man was placed in detention. A rescuer said despite the woman's ordeal, she was faintly calling for help as she was freed, according to the police.
But it sounds like he didn't. I mean, I'm not really certain what the track is here or how to take this story, because number one, I feel like he could have buried her a lot deeper.
Well, if you wanted to. Once you drop the mother off, I think he probably put some dirt on her. I mean, I can't imagine.
But then she's still going like, help, I'm alive, help, help. And you're just like, shut up. We're just ignoring you. We're ignoring you. Scoop. Because in the end, in my mind, I think that you'd want to probably... You know, I'm not trying to give this man advice, but you kind of want to, like, kill the woman first.
Well, that would be the logical way to do it. I think he was just, like, throw mama from the train. He was just so upset with his mother after years and years and years of taking care of her.
Harold!
Owen loves his mama. So according to the public assistance, according to a source, China has horrible public assistance, especially in the poor rural areas. But of course, the families are expected to take care of their elderly. I guess this guy just had enough. And he said, I can't do it anymore. And he went and he buried his mother for 3 days. And now I guess he just has to hang out with her more.
Well, absolutely. Because that's the thing, is that, like, why bury your mother when all that does is grow more moms?
Yep. I don't know.
You know what I mean? You can't just plant a mommy seed, because then you're going to have a whole mommy crop.
That's right. The mom's surname is Wang. She was 79 years old. His surname is Ma. He's 58. I mean, I guess at this point, buddy, that's your mom. You have another 10 to 20 years tops.
Yeah.
So you just got to wait it out.
But also there's just... again, not to give advice, there's so many other ways to do this, but also just ease it through. Be with your mom for a little bit longer. Just figure it out. Because in the end, you're not going to really be, I'm going to say this. If you kill your mommy and bury her, yes, maybe at the very beginning you'll be very happy.
Oh, she'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I think that you will be haunted by your actions.
Absolutely.
Especially just if you're already so half-assedly just kind of leaving her in a pile of dirt.
Right.
You don't really want this. You're just trying to find a way to get it. And you know how you do it is you get her a rich boyfriend.
Yes. I'm not sure how many rich boyfriends are out there in that province of China.
Yeah.
But you know now. He thought it was bad before he buried his mother for 3 days.
Oh, my God. You're never going to hear the fucking end of it.
Never going to hear the end of it. You better be making breakfast, lunch, and dinner for her from now on, buddy. Remember when you buried me alive for 3 days?
You remember when you put me in a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, it's forever. It was like the one time I forgot a cake on my mother's birthday.
A little bit like that.
You think if she was mad about that.
Yeah.
I'm mad if I shoved her in a wheelbarrow like she was a bunch of fucking manure.
Your mom would at least just enjoy having the family time together as you sweat profusely in the middle of the night with a dirty white shirt, trying to find the right graveyard to plop
her in. Henry Thomas, it's just nice to spend some time together.
Yeah.
Oh, come over here. The dirt's so light over here. This actually would be really nice. Oh, this is actually kind of comfortable. This would be a nice grave, Henry Thomas.
Aww.
No, I'm not going to kill her.
No, you just gave her flowers, and she's not allergic to flowers, to your knowledge, so that wasn't a secret plot to poison her.
No, that's just what I'm not like my mom. My mom does long con games where she tries to poison people. That's a different story.
Never tell anyone your allergies, by the way. That's what we learned from the movie Parasite. Those are biological weapons. If you're allergic to cumin, it's no longer just a fun spice. It's a goddamn weapon of mass destruction.
Mass destruction. I want to tell you this story. I said this is way more of a Kissel story than a normal Henry story.
Oh, is this the one?
This is really fun. This comes from Smithsonian Magazine.
Yeah,
so this comes from like a very big, this is like a big classy, like
it is.
Honestly, periodical. This is a headline.
Aww.
Super constipated Florida lizard breaks records with gargantuan poop.
Aww.
Now, you think that that's cute. And the picture of the lizard is really cute because he's all fat and chubby, right?
Right.
It's an unfortunate diet of pizza grease and sand clogged your innards because it lived behind a pizza shop. Right? It's in Florida. I live behind a pizza shop. It's fucking so cute.
I was born on third base and about to hit a home run.
Yep. It was a northern curly-tailed lizard behind this thing, and it got all filled with shit, right? And according to the article, this tubby creature, whose 2-inch long midsection was swollen to the size of a golf ball, was a female. And they first thought this a UF herpetologist scooped it up, and they thought it was pregnant.
Okay.
And they began to poke around the animal's abdomen. They didn't find any evidence of eggs, and said they said it felt like it was full of silly putty. Oof. Now, if you see this fucking CT scan of this lizard,
right?
You see that the lizard lady's innards weren't full of burgeoning babies. They were instead bursting with poop. 22 grams.
Woo-hoo!
That filled a third of the poor creature's entire body volume, but 80% of its total weight. It pushed all of its fucking innards up to the top of its rib cage, right? It was completely jam-packed. It looks like Mitch McConnell if you gave him a fucking autopsy. I'm getting better at this.
Sure.
I am getting better at political humor.
But certainly the one that definitely eats sandy pizza behind a weird-ass pizza joint in Florida, for sure.
Definitely the one that probably should be euthanized as well. That's what they... And so at first I thought that... Oh, what a cute story.
Sure.
Right? Because it seemed like, oh, I'll be going, Rick and Sandy poop with the lizard. Well, blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah.
Just give it a little lizard diuretic, have it poop it all out. It'll be happy. And you can imagine, Henry, aren't you just a little bit envious of having that, to reference John Wayne once again, just the 7 pounds of poop that was found in that man? If you could excavate it, what a day. What a day would be.
Yeah, but to get it out of this fucking lizard, they had to kill it and cut it open.
Oh.
It's the saddest thing in the world.
It was just sad.
Jam-packed full of shit.
In this article, they show the aftermath of what Henry just said. They cut open its little belly, and it is a dark poop, not a healthy poop.
I will say I've taken a couple of these.
Yeah, it's almost like we were in... It's almost like when we were in Dublin, Ireland, and we had Guinness for 4 days straight, and there's just black.
I mean, sometimes that's how it happens. If you've had a bunch of whiskey and a bunch of blood sausage, like we did in fucking, this is literally what my shit looked like for 3 days in Ireland.
Yeah.
If you look at this northern curly tail, apparently they're native to the Bahamas, and the Cayman Islands, and now they're an invasive species in Florida, but they'll eat anything. But man, I tell you what, it may have killed him, but this little fucker was living life like he died and lived the same way as James Gandolfini.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, Tony Soprano living the dream behind a pizza joint. My question is, they got this lizard that may have been stepped on and killed, ran over and killed. No one would ever know it existed.
Nope.
We don't have the best healthcare in the world right now.
Sure.
They got this lizard.
Yep.
A scan. Like, they just got him to the lizard hospital.
They tested him for COVID.
They
gave him his diabetes medication for free. Yeah, he had the best healthcare. He has better healthcare than my fucking parents.
It's unbelievable. And I also, if you run this pizza place, what's more invasive, the lizards or these researchers just hanging out like they want to get an extra slice that you had to throw away because you can't legally sell it because you're not Joe Exotic?
These people
behind this pizza place?
They're lizard curious. All right, these lizard curious, they are looking at lizards with a different purvey. They are looking at lizards the way that one woman was looking at the Golden Gate Bridge. That we just don't have that type of interest.
I mean, if I was the manager, I'd be like, all right, Stu, it's your second day here at Lloyd's Pizza. Go shoo all the archaeologists and go shoo all the lizard people away. Keep the lizards. Just get rid of the people.
I love the lizards.
Yeah. Anyway, poor lizard. This is a lesson to you, though. Don't have sand, pizza, and other greasy things because evidently it congeals inside the tummy. And then you can't.
Well, you can get that. You can get the gout.
Yeah.
Don't eat sand, y'all.
Don't eat sand, y'all. And according to the wonderful, informative documentary Plandemic, sand is where the cure is for COVID. But don't eat it.
Don't
eat it.
Don't eat it.
Well, speaking of food, let's do Hero of the Week. All right, this week's Hero of the Week. He's the hero of my life and the hero of every day for me. But now it's nice I get to share with all of you.
Just shows we, over the years, we have stated opinions on people.
Sure.
We have called things in the future. I mean, I was famously correct about Michael Jackson. I think that, you know, Marcus was famously incorrect.
There was some heavy speculation going on.
But Marcus is famously incorrect because he defended Michael Jackson. I'll always remember that to him. But I'm going to say that the history books, at first glance, we thought might not look kindly upon this man. But now it's seeming that he might be the only decent person to live.
Indeed, a spiky-haired Jesus. Guy Fieri. We're going Fieri this week.
I'll even say Guy Fieri. He will do it.
He raised more than $20 million for restaurant workers. This guy, he was partnering with the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation. He and the organization have been sending restaurant workers $500 grants through the newly created Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. After less than 2 months, Fieri was awarded more than 40,000 grants. During the interview on Thursday, he said the total amount they raised was $21.5 million. He said, "I started thinking about my brothers and sisters in the restaurant business and a bunch of restaurants that was closing. We got to do something." And Guy Fieri from Triple G, and everything else, Guy Fieri was able to raise $21.5 million. People mocked him for years.
They mocked him for years, and they said, "Oh, he's going to be a child molester. Oh, he's going to be a rapist." And they've been incorrect so far.
No, they were thinking Jared Fogle. This just goes to show you, this holds true to my philosophy that the nice people, the morning people, the Matt Lauers of the world, they're always the ones, because you got Jared Fogle. Everyone's like, "Jared Fogle, Subway sandwich is super healthy. He's having sex with children." Guy Fieri is in there being like, "Put some more bacon on it. Oh, yeah, I like the cheese."
Yeah, that's all he's thinking about.
Raising $21 million for people.
I was trying to explain to Natalie that once I was listening to an interview with Guy Fieri, and the way he talked about how he was changing the game in the chicken wing and chicken sandwich business by raising the ounce level of per cutlet, the way he was talking about it in detail, I was like, this man doesn't even have time to molest and groom.
No,
he's
busy.
This man is focused on fucking impacting the chicken sandwich environment.
Absolutely.
In a way, he's trying to disrupt, but also he's observing and adding to the conversation of the chicken sandwich.
Yes, he is. And there's no greater conversationalist than Guy Fieri. I'll never forget the American Grill experience that I had in Midtown Manhattan before the coronavirus closed everything.
It's not a good restaurant.
The market
it's not
closed.
Good.
Yes.
He is not a good restaurateur.
Well, he put his name on it. But Henry, did you even go to the American Grill, or are you just demeaning the great chefs,
you know,
that work there?
Unfortunately, even though it defies every single thing inside me, every bit of judgment, every single thing of culinary foresight that I have, because of Guy Fieri's ascendancy into a place of respect, I will at some point go to a Johnny Garlic's. Just to check it out, because right, I've never Johnny done it. Garlic's. But also, the Burbank Airport has a Guy Fieri sandwich spot.
Okay.
That is not good.
Well, it's not always about the quality of the food in his restaurants. It's about the quality of the food in the restaurants he goes to.
That's what it's about.
That's
he is
what
a good
about.
Curator of food and assembles views of food.
I will fight you to the death if you even come close to criticizing his Vegas fries. The Vegas fries that I got. Now, you got your tornado crisp. You got a tornado fry. It's
what is a tornado fry?
It's just a big, thick, twisty fry.
It's a curly fry.
It's a big, thick one. It's a spoon that's a fry. It was one of the best things I've ever had in my life.
You know,
the point where I was talking to the bartender in Midtown Manhattan as if it was a very nice, classy restaurant. And literally the guy was just so nice. He was so happy that I was treating it with such amount of respect, because usually it's just big families from Ohio, not demeaning them, but when they come to New York,
They're not even thinking about the food. They're just shoveling it in their mouth. Right? That's what you're about to say. You saying that you put a jeweler's glass on to the Guy Fieri experience, and you actually were actually there. You were the only one truly present. Everybody else was just filling their gullets in the neon flame bedecked world of Guy Fieri.
Uncut gems got nothing on uncut carbs. I wish I could make a movie where I was Adam Sandler's character in that film, but instead of running a jewelry business, it's nothing but these tornado fries, Vegas fries.
I will legitimately help bankroll that.
I got a martini. And the martini.
I would help you with that.
Thank you.
I think that's fantastic.
The martini was incredible. So thank you, Guy Fieri. You're the hero of the week.
You did it again.
Did it again.
Proving them wrong every fucking week. All right. I got a couple of listener letters. Let's take a look at some of this motherfuckers. Now, this comes from, I talked a little bit about the Verdega, which was this kind of opposite of the deja vu experience that happens a lot in Scandinavian countries. The idea is that you see a premonition of someone before you see them. And it happens a lot to people that are emotionally close to each other. This is crazy. This is a good letter. I myself am 35 years old man from Norway, and I have this shit. I've earlier wanted to sit down and write to you about this. I never got around to it, but after hearing that episode, I found the time. A lot of men in my family have had this dating back to at least as far as 1685, according to the family tree. When I was younger, I never understood why my mom always knew when I would walk in the door, or that she knew when she needed to look for me if I got hurt. She would always say it was the Verdager. I thought it was something she had. My grandmother on the mother's side would do and say the same thing. When I was in my teens, I finally asked my mother about this and why she had the Verdager. She thought, looked me dead in the eye, and told me that she didn't have anything. I did. That freaked me the fuck out. But she explained to me that it was when she saw the dread in my eyes. It's not a doppelganger as much as it's a poltergeist, but not scary. It's just a premonition of me that shows itself 15 minutes before I get somewhere. It seems that most people who are emotionally connected to me get the premonition. My mom says that every time I have walked in her front door since I was old enough to walk, she's heard me open and close the front door and hang my jacket in the closet 15 minutes before I actually do it. She basically gets deja vu every time I walk in the door. All the dogs I've ever had have also done this. So if someone has been watching my dog, that dog would go sit by the door 15 minutes before I arrive to pick them up every time without fault. When I was 18, me and some friends went on a trip to Bulgaria to party. One evening when I was really drunk, we walked past a tattoo shop that was open. We stopped and were about to go in and get me a tattoo when my mom called. She told me I was too drunk to get a tattoo and I should leave the shop. My asshole Verdager had showed itself to my mom getting a tattoo, and she immediately called me.
Oh, it's a basically, snitch. It's a snitch ghost.
That's what he says. My Verdager is a snitch.
What? Oh, my God. That's I didn't know that was going to be the turn.
But it also showed itself to my dad when I fell from a tree in the forest next to my house and blacked out. So I woke up in the hospital instead of alone at the forest at night. Oh. But no one in my family really believes in ghosts, but Verdagers, everyone believes it because we've seen it too many times to doubt it. When the people with Verdager die in my family, almost everyone knows when they have died immediately because a lot of my family sees or feels it right before it happens. I don't mean everybody feels it, but that just enough feel it that everybody gets the message early. My dad was in Brooklyn in the 70s when he saw my mom's uncle die on the pavement in front of their apartment home in Norway. He called home to check, and my mom said he was fine and she could see him walking past the house.
Uh-huh.
He suddenly fell over and died on the pavement of a major heart attack when my mom hung up the phone.
Well, this is the first of all, never answer the phone if anyone from this family calls you. This is
it's always scary news.
7 days. 7 days. It's very scary to think that. If they acknowledge it, I wonder if it's because they acknowledge it that it happens. Because otherwise, I don't know. Could you try to help them?
it sounds like it's happening despite anything that they're doing. It sounds like it's just a weird sort of astral behavior that we do not know why. I love it, though, and it makes me so happy. But here's this next story.
Oh, Henry, hold on a second. I'm getting a vision of you in 15 minutes from now. You're going to take a huge dump. It's going to be a perfect dump. Yeah.
Thank God, because I've been waiting on this dump. It's coming. All right, so here we go. This is a funny story that shows that sometimes things are creepy, but they may not be, you know, there's a surprise in here.
Okay.
So about 20 years ago, I was about 20. I was living in a rural farm cottage in the middle of nowhere by myself. I'd gone to bed one Saturday night about midnight, and from memory, I think I was lying in bed half asleep, half considering molesting myself. Molest? Suddenly, the phone starts ringing, so I don't get out of bed I get out of bed naked, and I go out, and I answer the phone. There's no one there. No dial tone, no one speaking. Just wondering what was going on, I hear this cackling female giggle come from my bedroom. I put the phone down and rush back to my room, and it's empty. I do check under the bed. No clue what's going on. Thinking I was just going to get back in bed, the phone rings again. I go out and answer it, thinking I should put some pants on. Again, there's no one there.
Okay.
I hang up. Phone rings again. So I answer it. No one is there. So I just fucking pull the jack out of the wall. Thinking that solved it, I head for my room, and then I hear a painful-sounding baby crying in my spare room. I run in there. Room is empty. Do you know your feeling when your brain can't stitch together what's going on? Right, but I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm feeling panicky. Phone rings again. The phone that has been ripped from the wall. I answer it, and now there's creepy breathing. I'm saying, who the fuck is this? And then that witch-sounding cackling giggle comes from my bedroom again. I drop the phone. I rush into the room. It's empty. Fucking rushing back and forth. He hears the giggling again in his bathroom. He runs over there. Nothing. Phone rings again. The phone is off the hook, and it's unplugged from the wall. It is ringing. I pick it up. I start to freak out. It is the breathing on the phone. The witch appears to be moving from the bedroom to the bathroom, cackling. I hear the baby cry again. I hear banging coming from my room, as if someone heavy is running across the floor. I freak. I can't find anything happening. I can't even begin to comprehend. There's the baby crying, the phone ringing, the witch cackling, the banging on my floor. I finally flip. It has to end. I run out of my room. I go out of my room. I grab a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun.
Oh, okay.
I slide open the sliding door, open the balcony, and I let a shot off in the air. He's freaking out, right?
Yeah.
So that's why he does this.
I don't know if that's
going to help. All goes silent. But... everything goes silent. The whole house goes crazy. Everything goes silent. And he goes to pick up the phone. It's his brother. And he says, hey, stop shooting. I'm under your house. Turns out the weekend before when I was away for the weekend, he had driven 2 hours to my house with a bunch of old stereo speakers and screwed the speakers with wires in various places under my house facing up against the bottom of the floorboards. He then ran wires from all the speakers back to a central location. He had wired my phone somehow via another phone that he had under the house. He had then gone home and made a mixtape with various creepy sounds. He then waited a full week and then late at night driven the 2 hours to get out to my cabin, snuck onto the property and crawled under the house with his Walkman. And then when the time was right, he called me and he was pushing play on the Walkman and connecting various wires to the Walkman as different sounds beamed into different rooms.
Damn.
So it was this crazy story. And he said eventually he gave me the mixtape when he left and on it was written Operation 13 Ghosts.
Dude, that's awesome. Hell yeah. Good thing he didn't shoot his brother. That is one way to die accidentally at the hands of a loved one. But very cool. That's fun. You know, kids, dude, the kids don't have fun like that anymore. Isn't that nice?
You know what? Because it takes real. You really have to be engaged.
You do. And you have to be a little bit bored. You have to have a level of trust and a level of hatred to just go and torment your brother like that. I think that's great. That's a great family right there.
I think it's a great family, and I also think that when it comes down to it, I love a super involved prank.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't do it for the cameras. They do it for the love.
They do it for the love.
They do it for the love.
So this is a cool story. I thought this was very interesting, especially headed towards what we're going to be covering in this week's episode of Last Podcast and Left in the next couple episodes, probably two. I'm from New Zealand, but I've been living in Japan for the last few years. When I was younger, I went on exchange in Kyushu, in southern Japan. Due to a mix-up, the school had no families for me to stay with, so I stayed with one of the teachers. very eccentric, always chuckling at everything. That reminds us kind of like anime style, where they're like,
oh, that's kind of fun.
Fun fact, many Buddhist priests in Japan work two jobs to support the temple. This teacher was also a Buddhist priest. So he stayed with him and his family in their temple. The house temple is large by Japanese standards. The temple proper has a full statue of their Buddha, all lacquered wood and gold leaf. The temple is quite old, even has a graveyard by the front gate with graves dating back to the 17th century.
Cool.
Being a temple, there are certain rules. Japanese belief maintains that the temple gates are an entrance to the spirit world, where the gods reside. As such, we never use the main gate, instead go around the gate to show the spirits we are still in the world of the living. By tradition, all that gold used to make theft a big issue. So the temple needs a guard. In this case, they have Zenzai, the guard dog. I say guard dog, but she's actually a very friendly border collie, very handsome, and the best worst guard dog ever. Always happy to see me when I arrive and wants constant attention. She's kept by the front door by tradition, and I walk her every night when I stay. With that out of the way, let's get to the spooky shit. Night in question happened last time I visited. It was a quiet weekday night. The priest's teacher father was working late at school and hadn't come home yet. The rest of the family were off doing their own thing, so it was just me and the elderly grandma.
Sounds like the trifecta of just a guaranteed pedophile, the priest's teacher father?
Yes.
Oh, my.
He might as well, fucking priest, teacher, father, cop.
Oh, no.
The rest of the family were off doing their thing. So it was typhoon season, and we had three straight days of rain. Zenzai, the guard dog, hates storms. Her tail goes between her legs, and if there's thunder, she barks and scratches to be let inside. Tonight was no different. Now, Grandma said something in her rural accent I didn't quite understand, but she pointed at the front door. I got the message, so I went to go calm Zenzai down. I walked to the front door and opened it to see Zenzai, soaking wet and scared. I'm about to go let her in when I notice it is suddenly dead silent. No wind, no heavy rain, no thunder, dead calm. Zenzai and I looked at each other nervously, then both looked out into the yard in front of the temple. There were no clouds, and a full moon lit the yard with jagged shadows. I can't explain it, but the shadows in the yard all shifted imperceptibly, like sort of clicked into place, almost like I had stepped into another world. Zenzai suddenly started barking at the open temple gate. The hairs on my neck stood up, and my spine tingled like someone had poured ice down my back. Ooh. I felt it too. Something was there. I watched a blob of shadow by the gate move and shift and slide across the yard, up to the temple steps and around the pillar in front of where I stood, maybe 10 feet from me. The shadow paused and looked at me, and it looked into my soul with giant green eyes. It was a kitten, a tiny black kitten. It could have fit into the palm of my hand. Of course, typical, since I was just concerned about a tiny feline intruder. I went to go pet Zenzai for a job well done when the kitten moved. This is where it gets strange.
Uh-oh.
Its front half sort of stretched out to the nearest gravestone about 30 feet away.
Oh.
And its back half followed a good quarter of a second later. Turned around, looked me dead in the eye, then stepped out of existence. I was petrified, and Zenzai pissed herself. Just started pissing.
Damn.
I told the priest about it when we got home. He chuckled, ha ha ha, then laughed, and he sat me down in the temple to give me a blessing. He explained that Japanese witches employ certain animals. These animals carry their souls into the spirit world to do their bidding on the full moon, very much like the witch familiars of Western paganism, but with more contracts, rules, and bowing to each other. I likely just startled a local witch who was out doing their witchy business. He gave me a blessing just in case a curse had been put on me, but he said I was probably fine. But still, it really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And it still gives me the creeps.
Don't piss off the witch. Look at that. Sort of like the Slinky Wiener dog from Toy Story. Very
it
much
is
able to
like
stretch.
That, but very it's cute. Cool. That's cute. I like that story of the ghost. It reminded me of Mushishi.
I love it. I've been reading a lot of Google.
You're reading a lot of Google.
You know, mediums, they all got websites. Been reading a lot about it. There's a whole bunch of different realms. I've been talking about that.
This is great.
Yep. Lot of fun haircuts in the medium community. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been a wonderful, I don't know, should I say it's been a wonderful episode? I hope you have enjoyed the episode.
I fucking hope.
And yes, let's see here. So thank you so much for buying the book. You can go to indiebound.com and get the last book on the left. Also, our live show is out. Lastpodcastlive.com. Super fun show. We filmed it in NOLA. And it is, I don't know. It's a good reminder that live performance will come back, and it does exist.
It will come back. We will be at you as soon as humanly fucking possible. I have no clue when that will be, but soon. You guys, yes, check out Last Podcast merch as well, because we have a lastpodcastmerch.com. All new shit. We got a limited edition shirt just about to
hit. Oh, my God. I love it.
I love it. Just get up in there. You're gonna love that shit. Let's do this. Thank you guys.
Honk, honk, honk.
You remember?
Damn.
You remember? So guys, live. You gotta live, man, because people out there are fucking, because you gotta get busy living, you're gonna get busy dying, and that's what I heard.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know who I think Tony Danza said that.
That could be.
I'm not certain, but Tony Danza. What a talent. Multiple talents. He can dance, can sing, can act. Love him. Love his energy. Absolutely. I think, did he die?
Tony Danza, I don't believe so. We'll find out. So. I hope not. I don't think
Someone
so.
Someone will tell us. You gotta laugh. You know what's a good time to laugh is out here on the streets during the quarantine. If you're walking around, people are a little bit more unhinged than normal, especially in Los Angeles. And so when a really good way to deflect, I've found, if someone says something like crazy to you, you go, you're right about that one, buddy.
That's a great technique.
Always agree, engage, agree, move.
Disengage. Right? Yep.
Disengage. Love. The peace of disengaging from someone you're scared of on the street. Yeah. Just how nice it is to get away from the weird, like, because nowadays it's a lot of people in bandanas, and I was robbed by people with bandanas, so sometimes it creeps me out. But I'm now learning to accept them and love them too, and know they're just trying to hide their face from reality.
Well, perhaps so they can't be facially recognized by all these cameras that are going up on a regular basis. We didn't even talk about the robot dogs yet. The war is beginning, folks, so don't forget that when it comes to the war against the machines.
That's why I'm on your side, robots.
I know. I'm not sure if they want you, but you are giving them your full support, full-throated support coming from Henry Zebrowski. That's it. No matter what someone tells you. Oh, yeah, go. Never thought of it that
way. Give them a shot. Let them get a shot.
Then you get on out of there. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Oh, Henry, I'm getting a premonition. You died on the toilet.
No.
Yeah,
I knew
it's all over.
Yeah, it's cool.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.